Welcome to the America's Workforce Radio Podcast, the flagship production of the American Workers Radio and Podcast Network, where organized labor and its never-ending fight to protect the rights of the American worker come first. Now, presented by LIUNA, Laborers International Union of North America, here's your host, Ed Flash Ferens.
What union leaders are saying about the Inflation Reduction Act. Bakery workers on strike in Iowa. And today on the show, the IBEW in Arkansas and the roofers in the upper Midwest. Welcome to the Monday, August 15th edition of America's Workforce, where we are available on at least six platforms, and that includes Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Spotify, Pandora, and Stitcher. Brian Irwin is going to be our first guest on the show today. He is the current business manager, financial secretary for IBEW, that's the International Brotherhood of Electrical Workers, Local 647, website IBEW647.org. They are based in Little Rock, Arkansas. Brian started his apprenticeship back in 1998, actually. He did that with a different local. That would be 995 in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Then he found his way over to Little Rock. And 5 years ago, 2017, he took on the role of recording secretary treasurer for the local, served in that capacity until November of 2020. That's when he became assistant business manager. Then when his predecessor retired, he was appointed as acting business manager, financial secretary, and that started a little over a year ago, April 1st of 2021. And since being appointed, he and his team have successfully completed contract talks on two of three contracts, and currently they're in talks with a company called Entergy to reverse the company's past trend of retirement elimination. Well, we'll have to talk about that. And to improve pay in their transmission and distribution contract. Right now, they have about 1,000 people with over 700 members, and that is in a right-to-work state. Yeah, Arkansas, yeah, has a history of not liking unions. And you know the company that's located there? Walmart. Boy, talk about a company that hates unions. That's a perfect example there. And they have plenty of lawsuits going back years on pay discrimination, wage theft, you name it. So Brian's going to be our first guest. Nick Brenner will be joining us later in the show. And he comes to us from the roofers, roofers and waterproofers. This would be a local 96. And boy, do they have a territory. Minnesota, Wisconsin, North and South Dakota. Nick's been a roofer in the field for 11 years prior to being offered a position as business agent for that local. Again, that's Local 96. We'll talk about their apprenticeship program and organizing, benefits to being a union. Quite a history for the roofers, too. They go back 119 years. They were chartered by the American Federation of Labor. This is long before it became the AFL-CIO. That didn't happen until the mid-50s. And then the International Brotherhood of Composition Roofers, Damp and Waterproof Workers received their AFL charter. That wasn't until 1906. And the members of 96 have many benefits and privileges. We're going to run all of that down and find out a whole lot more about their future when we check in with Nick Brenner later in the show. Now a brief look into the world of labor. This is brought to you by our good friends at Boyd Watterson Asset Management. You can find more at boydwatterson.com. It's done. We're talking the Inflation Reduction Act. Congress, the House, passed it Friday by a vote of 220 to 207. This comes a couple of days after the Senate passed it by one vote, 51 to 50 in the Senate. Now it awaits President Biden's signature. Not one Republican voted for it. Not one. So mark my words. Give it some time. And when the money starts flowing in, and we start seeing the benefits, you're going to hear a couple of Republicans say, you know what, this is a good piece of legislation. But sorry, I just couldn't vote for it. That happens all the time, all the time. Just a rundown on what it features, and there's a lot of labor leaders talking about it. It's the largest ever U.S. financial commitment to fighting climate change, and a three-year extension of the Affordable Care Act, health insurance subsidies for the poor and near poor. It also imposes a 15% minimum tax on billion-dollar corporations and a 1% tax on corporate stock buybacks that actually will raise almost $60 billion more than the Wall Street provision it replaced. The bill lets Medicare get started on bargaining down prescription drug prices with Big Pharma. Boy, that was a tough one, real tough one. Capping a lot of prices, especially for those on Medicare Part D. Liz Shuler, president of the AFL-CIO, said this measure, this bill, will transform the lives of working people at every level. Randy Weingart, president of the American Federation of Teachers, says this bill drives down drug and health care costs, reduces energy prices, and tackles the effects of extreme weather. And it does it by taxing big corporations and the wealthy, lowering the deficit and cutting inflation. Randy went on to say, for workers struggling to pay the bills, seniors who cannot afford medication, and all those who suffer from crippling diseases like cancer or debilitating diseases like asthma, it is literally a lifesaver. And then there's Terry O'Sullivan of Labor's International, presenting sponsor of America's Workforce. He pointed out that the $369 billion in clean and green energy sections of the bill will provide good union jobs at Davis-Bacon Act prevailing wages, and they will cover all energy sources from nuclear to wind to solar to coal to hydro to renewables to energy storage. Terry said, it's medicine working families need. I like that. And I like that. Mary Kay Henry, she is president of the Service Employees International Union. They have well over 2 million members. She called the measure truly historic for workers and their families and credited their lobbying with moving lawmakers to act. The bill puts the U.S. on a path to 40% reduction in carbon emissions by 2030, paid for by giant corporations that have been making record profits and without poison pill anti-immigrant amendments. That's Mary Kay Henry. The communication workers, another sponsor of the show, they call the Act's provisions, including its tax hike on the rich and on corporations, welcome and long overdue. Those special interests will now pay their fair share rather than gaming the system to avoid taxes. Tom Conway, president of the Steelworkers, another sponsor, hit the same themes. Reining in health care costs for millions of Americans will help provide a respite for workers and retirees grappling with inflation, while reforming our tax system will help combat rampant economic inequality by ensuring the richest corporations are paying their fair share. And we have one more here, and this comes from Sean O'Brien. Sean is the president of the International Brotherhood of Teamsters. He said, also taxing the rich and corporations that don't pay anything. Working people are sick of shouldering the burden of keeping America running since early 2020 while CEOs are counting their cash. This bill takes steps to reverse that while investing in good jobs and better health care to actually help families. So that's just a snapshot of what some of the labor leaders around the country are saying about the Inflation Reduction Act. Again, still awaiting President Biden's signature. More than 100 members of the Bakery, Confectionery, Tobacco Workers, and Grain Millers Local 100-G went on strike against the company Ingredion in Cedar Rapids, Iowa last week after unanimously rejecting the company's latest contract offer. The union said that in addition to subpar wage increases, other outstanding issues with the contract include proposed job eliminations, increased benefit costs, attempts to reduce union rights, and ending the two-tier wage system. Boy, they really, I'll tell you, that's so sad too, because that two-tier wage system happened, I want to say it was around the Great Recession. And the auto workers took a big hit. Well, everybody took a big hit. We saw a lot of jobs disappear. So the company said, okay, with the new hires, they have to come in at half pay. And a number of unions agreed to that, including the auto workers. And that was a big issue, especially with the John Deere negotiations from last year. And one more here before we break. Workers at Maximus call centers went on strike last week in protest of their unfair attendance and break policies. Now, a little history here. The workers also walked off the job in March and May of this year. Why? To demand fair wages and better health care benefits and to protest their employer's anti-union campaign. Across the country, Maximus workers have been organizing with the CWA. The call center workers, who are mostly women of color, handle questions and complaints on behalf of the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services, even though they themselves are working without good health care benefits. How about that? Comment here from Anna Flemings. Anna is a worker at the Maximus Call Center in Hattiesburg, Mississippi. And she says, it's time for Maximus to respect our human dignity and stop punishing us. If we have family emergencies or need to take time off due to illness, they have a hashtag set up if you want to support them. Give us a break. The hashtag is give us a break. And the AFL-CIO nationally sent out an email last week asking for all of you to support them. Trying to get health care, and they're working for Medicare. Medicaid services. It's such a crazy world today. You can't even figure out some of this stuff. All right, quick break. When we come back, we're going to check in with the IBEW in the state of Arkansas.
This is America's Workforce. More shows available at awfradio.com.
It takes LIUNA to build North America's infrastructure. From roads and bridges to schools and skyscrapers, the men and women of LIUNA, the Laborers International Union of North America, build the projects we depend on. From constructing the Freedom Tower on the site of the former World Trade Center to untangling Washington, D.C.'s congested interstate, LIUNA members do the work that matters. Find out what it takes to be built by LIUNA at LIUNA.org. That's LIUNA.org.
The United Steelworkers of America represent over 70,000 workers in the state of Ohio. Steelworker members enjoy the benefits of some of the best contracts of any workers in the world. Many of your friends, neighbors, and relatives are members of one of the most effective democratic unions in our country. With the pressures unorganized workers are under in today's economy, you need to join them. So call the Steelworkers Organizing Office at 216-292-5683 or toll free at 1-800-443-3752.
Chris LaGrange here, host of UCOM Live with Chris LaGrange. News, talk, sports, and workforce politics. The fastest growing podcast on, in, and around the internet. Join us live every Thursday at 4 p.m. Eastern on Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, and Twitter with archives on UCOMLive.com. Our loud and colorful panelists bring you current events like no other. So follow and subscribe today wherever great podcasts are found.
Buildings, bridges, skyscrapers, and more. Structures that are the face of our cities and towns were built by members of the Ironworkers Union. That's why it's important that our workforce of over 130,000 ironworkers continues to be the safest and best trained in the field. With 154 training centers, we invest over $90 million annually in safety and training. We're growing the next generation of union ironworkers. There are so many reasons to put your trust in our ironworkers and their employers. Learn more about us at ironworkers.org.
The AFL-CIO is a proud sponsor of America's Workforce Radio. United by efforts to raise wages, listeners to this show and workers all across America are beginning to turn a corner and drive the economic debate. The AFL-CIO is comprised of 12.5 million working people from 56 unions, but we stand with and fight for everyone who is working for a better life. For more information about our raising wages agenda, go to AFLCIO.org.
Now, back to Ed Flash Ferens with America's Workforce.
And don't forget, you can check us out on Facebook and follow us on Twitter. Twitter handle, AWF Union Podcast. Make sure you get the word union there. By the way, this next segment brought to you in part by the Ohio Federation of Teachers. You can find more at oh.aft.org. In fact, Melissa Cropper, president of the Ohio Federation, will be joining us tomorrow at this time. Right now, let's go down to the state of Arkansas, and joining us on line number one is Mr. Brian Irwin. Brian is the business manager, financial secretary for the Electrical Workers Union. That would be IBEW647.org, their website. Hey, Brian, how are we doing today, my brother?
I'm doing good, my brother. How about yourself?
I'm doing okay. Still doing the show here at Iron Workers Local 17. Ever since the pandemic, we've been remotely working, and good bunch here. Good bunch. The retirees, this is kind of funny, too, because they always pop in because one of the business agents, he puts an extra couple scoops of coffee in the coffee pot to get them going. And I'll tell you, when you're retired, you need all the help you can get.
So, yeah, keep it stout and feed them with sugar, right?
There you go. There you go. All right. Let's talk a little bit about Brian Irwin. Now, you are now your union is based in Little Rock, and we're talking off the air here, but your office right now is a Chevy Impala, right? Talk to me about that, Brian.
Yes, it feels like it sometimes, man. And, you know, we've got about 21,000 square miles of the state of Arkansas that we cover. We bargain with the large utility, Entergy, between the linemen and a nuclear plant and some powerhouses, it keeps me pretty much on the road throughout the whole week. So, yeah, that's my joke. I've got a Chevy Impala office out there, and I usually live out of it most of the week.
My God, 21,000 square miles. That's a chunk of territory. And I was reading earlier, 1,000 people with 700 members in a right-to-work state. Can you, when you say that 700 paying members then, is that what you mean by that or what?
Yep. Yes, sir. We have three different contracts. Like I said, a nuclear plant, linemen, and some fossil plants. And between those three, we cover, there's about 1,000 people underneath our contract that are bargaining unit members, and we have about 700 of them that are paying members, which that makes us the largest IBEW local in Arkansas, and I think we're one of the largest trade unions overall in the state.
Let me ask you this, and that's unfortunately the problem in a right-to-work state, because you could be in the union and not pay the dues, pay the freight to be in the union and get the benefits of the union. Now, how does that work with the members? I mean, do they know the ones that aren't paying? I'm just wondering if there's any friction because of that.
Well, we have there's certain groups that are high non-participants, and it's historic. And unfortunately for us, it's some of our best compensated individuals. But yes, it is known who is and who isn't a member. And I update our stewards pretty regularly, and they keep pushing and keep pushing. I think we're actually making a turn in the market. Labor is in a much more friendly position than it has been in decades, as you know,
right.
So we're starting to make ground in those non-members, and we got to work on the legislation. That's the key.
Yeah. Is anybody there trying to turn that around, you know, as far as, you know, getting rid of right to work? I know it's tough, especially in the South, but there's got to be some saying, hey, we got to do better than this. What are you hearing?
I haven't heard much, but the Arkansas right to work has been on the books for a very long time. I want to say the 50s is when it came in. We don't currently have anybody on the Hill pushing for that, but we need to make another push at it.
Yeah.
We were kind of hoping that the Jobs Act would go through, and that would help everybody, the PRO Act. But we still haven't seen any movement there either.
I hear you. Well, you know, we're getting victories. We're inching along. I know it's not easy. I mean, the Inflation Reduction Act is a prime example there, where they had to go with the reconciliation method. But let's talk a little bit about Brian Irwin here. I see you got into the apprenticeship program, let's see, 1998. So what is that, 24 years ago? And
yes, sir.
What made you go in that line of work? What was your story back then?
Pure luck. I'm a first-generation union member. I grew up in South Louisiana amongst the chemical plants and refineries and all those other things. And it was pure luck. My mom called me and said, hey, look, there's an ad in the paper. Said they'll give you training and benefits, and you need to go check it out. And I did, and it ended up being electric works. Best decision I made in my life. It definitely changed the trajectory of my entire life, and it gave me a career and gave me lifelong friends. And I'm thankful every day that I did that.
And that was local 995 in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. How did you find your way over to Little Rock?
Well, I had some family up around this area, and I was traveling around, and this is where we landed, and I've been here ever since. I moved up here in about 2004, and man, I used to come up this way and vacation. Me and some friends and my brothers would come up to the Buffalo River up here about 30 miles from where I'm sitting right now, and raft it over the weekend. And I don't know. I would highly recommend that anybody listening to the podcast take a trip to Arkansas and go visit the Buffalo River, and you will not be disappointed. It is some of the most beautiful country in the country.
The Buffalo River. Okay, I'll
put that
on my bucket list. I like that. Got to check that out.
It's gorgeous. It is absolutely gorgeous. And, so I just ended up staying. I met a bunch of good people up here, and they welcomed me in with open arms, and did construction for several years after that before I went in-house to the utility, which is Energy.
Mm-hmm. Let's talk about this utility, Entergy. Pretty big outfit there, and how are they as far as when it comes to negotiating contracts?
They're a very large company. They are the primary utility in Louisiana, Mississippi, Arkansas, and they have a pretty good foothold down around Houston area. They have about 12,000 employees ish, somewhere in that range. They can be bullheaded to work with. Anytime you start talking about having to deal with CEOs and OCEs and all those titles with C's and E's and O's in it, it tends to be a pain in the butt, quite honestly. we've been fortunate with some of their labor lawyers. We've been able to actually talk sense to them, and we've made some good headway. As you know, right now, one of the most in demand, if not the most in demand craft person out there is a qualified lineman. And we settled a contract back in August. But since that time frame, we have had people leaving to go do construction, both either in Texas or California. And we're in the process of reopening that contract to give our guys some more money and benefits, as well as some of the supporting crafts that are covered under that contract.
Brian, if you don't mind, you mentioned linemen, and you said that they're in demand right now. Can you speculate why that is? I'm just wondering, just not cranking enough linemen out when it comes to the apprenticeship programs, or what? What's your answer to that?
Well, it's a little bit. It's several factors. The first thing is California and Texas both have required their public utilities to upgrade their systems in California's case, to fire harden ever since the campfire. And then in Texas's case, ever since the snowstorm, the Public Utilities Commission down there has told them that they have to strengthen the grid. So that's sucking a bunch of these linemen into some higher paid areas, along with the baby boomers going out. And for decades, you've had people telling young gifted individuals that if you don't go to college, you're not going to be a success in life. When, you know, I mean, I never stepped foot on a college campus. Where I wasn't having, fun. But I went through a 5-year apprenticeship program, and I'm a valuable member of the society that is a contributor. So it's a range of things. The demand in certain states, the loss of the baby boomers, and just not sending these young individuals into the schools to go through the training. Mm-hmm. I've committed to partner up with Entergy to start recruiting at the high school level. So we're about to start going into these high schools and selling it to these young individuals. Hey, there is a good job in the trades, and let me show you how we can get there.
There you go. All right, Brian, I got to take a quick break. Brian Irwin joining us on our live line, and he is the business manager, financial secretary for the Electrical Workers Union, IBEW 647, IBEW647.org is their website. We'll continue talking with him. And then later in the show, we're going to check in with Nick Brenner. Nick is with the Roofers and Waterproofers. That would be Local 96. And boy, does he have a territory. Minnesota, Wisconsin, North and South Dakota. We'll be back in a few minutes.
This is America's Workforce.
It takes LIUNA to power North America with affordable energy. The men and women of LIUNA, the Laborers International Union of North America, have the skills needed to build and maintain oil, natural gas, nuclear, solar, and wind projects that are shaping America's energy future. From new energy tech to retrofitted facilities, LIUNA members do it all. Find out what it takes to be powered by LIUNA at LIUNA.org. That's LIUNA.org.
We're the nurses, firefighters, and claims representatives that help keep our government services running. We respond to natural disasters. We care for our nation's veterans. And we investigate discrimination in the workplace. We are federal and D.C. government workers. And we are proud to serve the American people. Working in more than 70 agencies across the government, we know we can fulfill our mission because our union has our back. Learn more at AFGE.org. Paid for by the American Federation of Government Employees, AFL-CIO.
Hello from the Communication Workers of America, District 4. We are a labor union representing a vast array of workers in different industries, including the Association of Flight Attendants, Telecommunications, CWA Passenger Services, Public Health Care, and Education Workers, the IUE, CWA Industrial Division, the National Association of Broadcast Employees, the CWA News Guild, not to mention our growing digital sector, and many others. If you're interested in organizing your work group or learning more about what it means to be CWA strong, visit our website at www.cwad4.org. That's cwad4.org.
America's Workforce appreciates our sponsor, the Columbus Central Ohio Building and Construction Trades Council, who represents more than 18,000 workers from 19 affiliated local unions and district councils.
From the Golden Gate Bridge to the St. Louis Gateway Arch, the Sears Tower, and just about every building, bridge, and structure in between, our cities and towns wouldn't be the same without iron workers. With over 3,000 contractors employing more than 130,000 highly trained iron workers and 20,000 apprentices, the Iron Workers Union stands ready and able to shape the future of our skylines. Learn more at ironworkers.org. Iron Workers, the sky's the limit.
Now, back to America's Workforce. Here's Ed Flash Ferens.
And remember, you can check us out on at least six platforms. That includes Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Spotify, Pandora, and Stitcher. And when you get an opportunity, just sign up and receive our shows on a regular basis and give us a rating. We always appreciate those five-star ratings, so do keep them coming. Before we go back to Brian Irwin, I just want to give another plug here to the Kentucky AFL-CIO. KYAFLCIO.org is their website, and they're still asking for contributions because the flooding is ridiculous over there, especially in the eastern part of the state. And I just want to mention what's going on. And Bill Londrigan, who was on the show a couple of weeks ago, that guy is so on point and in charge. He has partnered with United Way of Kentucky and their Union Disaster Relief Fund, which they set up about 8 months ago when they got hit with a bunch of tornadoes. And the requests for funding for the Union Disaster Relief Fund were met with immediate responses from many unions, including, you ready for this? A $10,000 contribution from the Florida AFL-CIO. The Ohio AFL-CIO got together and packed up a trailer with equipment, supplies, and food. Western New York Central Labor Council sent supplies. The mine workers who are on strike, over 1,000 of them in Alabama, they found resources and they sent several truckloads of supplies. And the Los Angeles Central Labor Council, their community services committee, and the Teamsters sent a semi loaded with supplies and food all the way from Los Angeles to Hazard, Kentucky. Just amazing. Hats off to Bill Londrigan and his team at the Kentucky AFL-CIO. Let's go back to our live line and rejoin Brian Irwin. Brian is in Arkansas, just outside of Little Rock right now. That's where the headquarters are for IBEW Local 647. Are you getting any of that flooding? Arkansas gets crazy weather, too, and tornadoes. How are you faring right now, Brian?
Well, over the last couple of months, it's been really dry. Really, really dry, so we would take some of that rain, but you're right. The tornadoes tend to come through here pretty regular.
Yeah, so. Yeah. Well, that's the crazy thing with climate change. You got extreme. You got extreme hot. You got extreme cold. You got no rain. You got too much rain. It's crazy. Let's talk about the future of the electrical workers. And I keep hearing so many times, everybody wants to be an electrical worker. And I'm because a lot of that has to do with the future. You got the infrastructure bill, you got solar panels, you've got charging stations. Let's talk about your apprenticeship program there. And you know it all too well. You started 20 some years ago. How is the apprenticeship program with your local, how is it gearing up for the future here, Brian? Talk to me about that part.
Well, we don't per se run the apprenticeship program at my local because we deal straight with the utility. But we do partner with our sister local, IBEW 295 and Local 700, because they deal mostly with the construction side of the things that we are planning for the future. Energy has a couple of very large coal fire plants that are supposed to be closing within this decade. And we're trying to find out what we're going to replace with that. whether it's small modular reactors or solar fields. They've already started putting some solar fields up around the state. And, you know, like you said, the charging stations are starting to appear. Mm-hmm. But, you know, and we have, I guess we'll maintain a lot of that, but that's mostly going to be out of the construction side there.
I hear you. So you mentioned in the first segment about reaching out to young people, especially in high schools, and I'm hearing that from pretty much all the trades. Because there's that push. You got to go to college. Got to go to college if you want a decent job. And especially now with the cost of college. And a lot of times they come out and they're not, you know, there's no way they're going to pay that debt off. It's going to take 20, 30, 40 years. With that being said, how are we doing in that? You sounded like you're getting ready to embark on a campaign. Can you give us some details on that?
Yeah, I've got several high schools targeted around here that we're going to go into. We're starting to run some job fairs up around the Russellville area where we have the large nuclear plant. And I've had a commitment from the company that they would be on board with that. You know, currently the generation coming up now has a much more favorable outlook on union. We could see that through the Starbucks organizations, the Amazon organizations, and we hope to continue that trend in the state of Arkansas. And we hope to do that by getting some of these young individuals into some skilled craft and cultivate that talent from a younger age. So that's our goal, and we're going to go out and do it at the beginning of this school year.
Mm-hmm. Good for you. You getting any help as far as from national, international, IBEW? I mean, they're really a progressive union. Do you have a lot of communication with them?
I do. I've got a really good IVP and international representatives, and they're pretty much just whatever I ask for, they're willing to deliver. Between Brett Hall, our international VP, and, you know, they're a good group and a good bunch of guys. And, they're helping.
So right now, your local, again, 647, IBEW Local 647, you say you represent about 1,000 people. And being a right-to-work state, you got 700, you know, dues-paying members. Where do you see that maybe, growing to in the next year or two? I'm just wondering. I know it's not easy, but the climate for organizing is pretty good right now. And obviously, there's a lot of jobs out there and labor shortages. So what do you see?
Yeah, no, we have some things on the horizon. We've been trying to organize some co-ops that we have here, and we're seeing some movement, but we have a strong feeling that if we get a couple of good players to go union, then we're going to see a domino effect here of some of these smaller co-ops jumping in and joining us. We've got some good plans for the future, along with going after these individuals that are covered under our contract, but are not currently members. We call them future members.
I gotcha. Good. Well, it looks like you got your eye on the prize here, so you just got to keep moving in the right direction. And I have to chuckle here a little bit. You and I have something in common. One son and four daughters. I just married my last one off in May.
No.
You know, and I said, after four, no more weddings. So you got a little way to go, don't you, brother?
I do. The four girls are, the oldest one just went off to college up there in Fayetteville. And then, so we have three teenage daughters at home as of now. Whew. It's interesting.
It is. I feel your pain through the phone lines. I feel your pain, brother. Oh, it's all good. Brian Irwin joining us on our live line. Business manager, financial secretary, IBEW Local 647 in Little Rock, Arkansas. IBEW647.org. You stay in touch with us. Stay strong and stay safe. Okay, brother?
I will do, brother, and appreciate you giving me the opportunity to do this with you.
That's what we're here for. All right, quick break. Nick Brenner is with the Roofers and Waterproofers. That would be Local 96. He's coming up next.
This is America's Workforce.
It takes LIUNA to keep America running. Over 70,000 public employees are part of LIUNA, the Laborers International Union of North America, delivering critical services such as healthcare and emergency response, as well as maintaining roads and sanitation systems. Even the National Postal Mail Handlers Union, representing over 47,000 U.S. postal workers, is affiliated with LIUNA. Find out what it takes for LIUNA to keep America running at LIUNA.org. That's LIUNA.org.
America's Workforce is sponsored in part by Boyd Watterson Asset Management, LLC. Find out more about our investment solutions tailored to meet the needs of Taft-Hartley funds at BoydWatterson.com.
Hire union musicians. Call Music Talent of Cleveland at 216-881-1802. Call Music Talent of Cleveland as your dependable source for professional musicians in Northeast Ohio. Union musicians add harmony to weddings, elegance to parties, and uplifting music for all events. Music Talent of Cleveland contracts solo and ensemble musicians as well as bands and orchestras for single engagements. So hire union musicians. Call Music Talent of Cleveland today. 216-881-1802.
There is unity and strength for workers.
We are the USW.
We are the USW.
The United Steelworkers.
The largest industrial union in North America.
We represent 850,000 members in the U.S., Canada, and the Caribbean.
We work in metals,
rubber,
chemicals,
paper,
oil refining, atomic energy, and the service sector.
We are steelworkers. Standing strong and fighting for what's right.
The Heat and Frost Insulators and Allied Workers are proud to be a title sponsor for America's Workforce Radio. The Insulators Union is leading the way in the mechanical insulation industry, fire stopping, and infectious disease control. Regarded as North America's energy conservation specialists, these professionals are known for their professional work and dedication. You can learn more about the Insulators Union at insulators.org.
This segment of America's Workforce is brought to you by Survey and Ballot Systems. SBS has been providing unions with secure and flexible election options for over 30 years. Visit surveyandballotsystems.com to learn more.
Now, back to Ed Flash Ferens with America's Workforce.
And don't forget, you can check us out on Facebook and follow us on Twitter. Twitter handle AWF Union Podcast. By the way, this next segment brought to you in part by the United Labor Agency, always connecting people with employment. Good employment, I might add. ulagency.org is our website, ulagency.org. All right, let's go to line number two. And joining us from the Roofers and Waterproofers, this would be Local 96, is Nick Brenner, and he is a business agent with 96. Website is rooferslocal96.com. He was a roofer in the field for 11 years before being offered a position as business agent for the local. Nick Brenner, how are we doing today, my brother?
Very well. Thanks for having me.
Boy, you got some territory there. Minnesota, Wisconsin, North and South Dakota, is that right?
That is correct. I cover, myself personally, I cover the northern three quarters of Wisconsin and 10 counties in southeast Minnesota. Altogether, I cover 50 or 63 counties myself. So I spend a lot of time driving.
I'll bet you do. Yeah, our first guest was Brian Irwin from the electrical workers in Arkansas. He's got 21,000 miles, square miles, that he covers, almost the entire state of Arkansas. And when I told him about you, he said, holy smoke, I'm not going to complain anymore. it's a big, was it always that big of a territory for 96 or what?
No, it has not been. It's
there's been some mergers over the years with several smaller locals, and 96 has always been financially stable and just a very good, effective local, one of the biggest in the nation. And whenever mergers happen, they would tend to put the smaller locals in with 96 for whatever reason, thinking they had the resources to patrol and cover the area. Okay. On the average week, I would say I probably drive about 1,000 miles a week for work.
That's a lot. That is a whole lot. How many members in 96, Nick?
Approximately 1,200 right now.
Has that been pretty steady, growing? What's your take on that?
It actually has been fairly steady the last few years. We have, our membership numbers are increasing, but not as fast as we'd like them to be. I would say we've probably been gaining 20 to 30 members a year the last 4 or 5 years.
Okay. What's your apprenticeship program look like? Is it a 4-year, 5-year? Give me some details on that.
Our apprenticeship program is 3-year program right now. That's 144 classroom hours each year during the winter. So the apprentices come in, they get their 1 day a week that they come in either every Monday, every Tuesday, however, whatever day they get selected for. And they do 144 hours in the classroom between January through March. We do it in the winter like that so they don't miss a whole lot of time on the roof, and we're not taking them away from their employers when they're busy. They complete their 144 classroom hours for 3 years, and they worked 6,000 hours on the roof, and they receive a journeyman card.
I see. Okay. How's the workload been so far in that area?
It is insane. That's what we're spending a large majority of our time doing, is trying to find people for our employers. There is so much work. I joined the Roofers Union in 2005, and I have never, ever seen a workload like there is right now.
Nick, what do you attribute that to? What's going on in that territory?
I believe personally it's several things. People are building, spending money. Some of that may have been to the COVID stuff, but I feel like it was going on before that. And then I think worker shortages. One of the things I think with the worker shortages is when the COVID-19 pandemic hit, I think there were a lot of, we have an aging workforce. And I think there were a lot of people who planned on working another couple of years before retiring. I think it pushed a lot of people into an early retirement. How many baby boomers do we have in our country right now that are reaching retirement age?
Uh-huh.
And instead of working another 2 or 3 years, they just hung it up.
I see.
I think that's had a lot of impact on the worker shortages we're seeing as well.
So, Nick, what are we doing about that as far as, you mentioned your apprenticeship program, as far as attracting people into this line of work? What's 96 doing? Can you be specific on that?
Yes. We spend a lot of time talking to non-union workers. We also do a lot of advertising with Facebook. Let me touch back on the non-union thing, actually.
Yeah.
Some of the trades, I do a lot of joint or group organizing with other trades unions, with the sheet metal workers, the operators unions. And I'm pretty envious of those guys sometimes when I do joint organizing with them, because I'll be working with an operators union rep, and they'll pull over and start talking to guys on the side of the road that are doing road construction, trying to recruit non-union guys that way. And I just think, wow, you guys have got it made. That is so easy for me. Generally, the people that I want to talk to are on roofs. So I can't just walk up to any old building any day and climb up any ladder I want. It's a little trickier for us to gain access to some of these non-union people we want to talk to and work with. Sometimes we'll have to wait till they come down on the ground to take a break. Sometimes we'll have to get permission from a building owner or a general contractor to go up on the roof and speak with them. So with us mainly being roofing or waterproofing as well, you can't just go walk down in any trench you see either. it's a little trickier for us in that regard. We've got to work a little harder at it, I guess would be a good way to put it.
Yeah, yeah. Now, the contractors, say you're trying to organize somebody up on the roof. Do you you have to get permission before you do that, or you go up there anyway and they kick you off? I mean, I would imagine there's a couple of stories out there.
Oh, man, there certainly are. Now, the ones where we usually will get permission to go on a roof and talk to non-union workers, those are usually construction projects where there will be a union general contractor on site or any general contractor. Sometimes non-union ones will let us up there to speak with guys as well. But if it's a re-roofing project and the only trade there is the non-union roofers, they're not letting us on the roof.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's got to be a struggle for you. What part is waterproofing? It's roofing and waterproofing. You got the top of the building, the bottom of the building. Is that like 50-50? What's your breakdown on that?
I would say it's more like one third, two thirds. As far as our members, two thirds are probably doing roofing, one third doing waterproofing. Waterproofing is the foundation of a building. Anything that's below grade, we refer to it, or picture like a basement, anything that's below ground level. And there's many different materials and stuff that we use to put on the outside of a structure to stop in water intrusion.
Nick, if you don't mind, I want to go back to your territory. 96 serves Minnesota, Wisconsin, North, and South Dakota. Weather not too good there, especially in the wintertime, could be very, very brutal. How does that work with your especially the roofers? I would imagine like some of those storms can be very damaging. Safety, obviously, number one when it comes to the trades. Can you speak to that, especially if trying to attract young people into this profession? That's got to be a problem in itself, right?
It certainly is, yes, especially with many of the newer roofing materials. If you ever look at the roof of a building, granted, we're mainly doing flat roofs. If you ever get a view of a flat roof and you see a white material on that, you have to be careful. That new white membrane that they use, it's called either TPO or PVC. It's two different materials, but they look very similar. They are extremely slippery anytime there's frost. So if the temperature is below freezing, that white membrane on a roof, it's like walking on an ice skating rink.
Ooh.
It's extremely slippery. So be careful if you're ever going to happen to see a roof with that material and they're going to go on it in the winter. Be careful.
And, Nick, why are they using that? What is it, PVC? It's a coating, like, or what?
There's TPO or PVC. They're both what we refer to as a single-ply membrane. It's a material that comes in rolls that are generally 10 feet wide and 100 feet long. You set them in place on the roof and roll them out, and then you glue them down. And the main reason they're using it is UVs. It's very reflective, so it's very effective or very easy to cool buildings instead of having a black material on the roof that absorbs all that sunlight. So it makes cooling the building easier. It's also a very, very durable material as well. It's very strong. And as far as the weather goes, yes, it's tough to find people who are willing to work in this climate outside. One thing that stands out to me, there's good construction pay in the upper Midwest, and we have many, many people contacting us every summer from different areas of the country wanting to come to the upper Midwest and work for the summer. We do not get those phone calls in the winter. All of them people head back to their wherever they're from. They get out of here in the winter.
Well, we have time on our side right now. It's August, so we have to do our best before the weather changes. And when it changes, it happens overnight. There's no doubt about that. All right, Nick. Nick Brenner, who's business agent for Roofers Local 96. Website is rooferslocal96.com. They need workers there. And the pay is pretty decent. Roofers and waterproofers, Local 96. You take care, my friend, and stay in touch, okay?
Thanks so much for having me.
All right, that's it for another edition of America's Workforce. Coming up tomorrow, the latest from the Ohio Federation of Teachers and the food and commercial workers. Until then, all of you have a safe and wonderful day.
That concludes another episode of the America's Workforce Radio Podcast. Thanks for listening, and be sure to subscribe so you never miss a show. America's Workforce is a production of Labor Tools and BMA Media Group. Find out more information online at labortools.com.